when I was asked to do the Avalokiteshvara festival, my first response was, oh no, compassion. And I, you know, I was wondering, could I trade with somebody and not have to think about or speak about compassion? But then shortly after that, I realized that it was a very good opportunity for me to look at my sort of skepticism and mistrust about the compassionate nature of the universe. And so in these past weeks, I've just been watching where compassion arises, what obstructs it, you know, how it reveals itself. And it's actually been a very good meditation or focus for me. So I've ended up being, you know, grateful for this question of compassion. There are some guests here who have been here for the weekend doing what we call our Dharma weekends, which are fairly new. And I asked them if they would do the same, just have compassion sort of in their mind and what it meant to them, you know, as they were going through their day. And I think we all found it very nice to have a little focus like that, and that it helped to open up some of our questions about compassion and what it means. And, you know, I think most of us have doubts about, am I a compassionate person? You know, where is this compassion that is supposed to be in me, you know, and in this other fellow? And so it's a good thing to look at. And this morning, I'd like to just give you some of my thoughts, you know, some of the things that arose in my mind as I was looking at compassion. This is not a full picture. You know, if I did this or do this 5 years from now, I might say something very different. But these are some thoughts that came to me and that were helpful to me. The first actually came out of our memorial offertory, one of the offertories that we do at the end of memorials. And one of the things the offertory says is, we pray that when we are in delusion, the jewels of enlightenment shall shine of themselves. And I was preparing for a funeral, and when I first read that, I was really struck by it. By actually what a compassionate thing it was, because it was saying that compassion's not going to wait for me. You know, for my understanding, for my experience, for, you know, that it is always there. You know, that essentially it's the ground of everything else. And there's... To me, this is quite moving, you know, that it's not waiting for me or anybody else. You know, it's just part of our existence. So it's the understanding that there's something deeper and wider, more vast than what we see right in front of us. And that particular offertory ends with, let us walk on the way to enlightenment with all living things. And to me, this indicates that this compassionate ground of being is both universal and particular. That the jewels of enlightenment shine of themselves, regardless of what we do or think. And I and everybody else walks on the way to enlightenment with all other beings. And what can be more compassionate than that? And I had never seen it as the particular and the universal before. And this has been very helpful to me to look at it in this way. And that the compassion of the universe accepts all beings, including me, you know, without exception. This we can take on faith and trust, and move from that understanding, from that spot. Another way of saying this is that the moon, or enlightenment, or universal truth, is reflected in all things, even a dewdrop, even this particular dewdrop, me. You know, even the dewdrop across the way that I don't particularly get along with. You know, I cannot be excluded from compassion, and neither can they. Yesterday at tea, we were talking about this a bit, that compassion arises not from dualism, not from, you know, I'm over here and this poor sod is in so much trouble that I better go help him. You know, that it doesn't arise from that. You know, that attitude actually separates us. It arises from the recognition of the connection of all things. You know, not the separation, not the connection. I mean, you know, not the separation, but the connection. Even if I do not believe that I know or feel the compassionate nature of the universe, still, if I have trust and faith, I can contribute to the bigger picture by turning towards the universal that reflects in my life, in my circumstances. When this can occur, harmony takes care of itself. And when I do the opposite, when I move from the little picture, from what I want, from the idea that everything is about me, then I'm basically at war both with myself and my life, you know, will reflect that. And it will be reflected in how I relate to other people. Another thought about compassion is that it is found in what is given. And by this I mean when we trust ourselves to the present and find an acceptance of ourselves and our lives, we are both entering into and expressing compassion in our daily lives, and particularly compassion to ourselves. I say entering compassion, yet we can't really be separate from it. When we separate ourselves from what is right here, right now, we may be unable to see compassion, but it is always there. And, you know, compassion doesn't come and go. It's more that we come and go. You know, that we, you know, go into our safe little space and close the door and, you know, find a comfortable place to be. And when we're doing this, even compassion cannot be shut out, you know. Still, it will find a way in. But it is easier to see and to act from compassion if we take some responsibility. And by this I mean that our fears and our desires can hide compassion, can obstruct the true nature and bring suffering. So we need to turn towards, we need to enter or join the stream of compassion that is in all things. And this means moving from our comfort zone, basically, and meeting compassion through acceptance, you know, an opening to what is happening in front of us right now, and a willingness to step into new territory, you know, to not always be protecting our little space. And I know from my experience that when I'm protecting this comfortable little space, it gets smaller and smaller. And in a way, that's a good thing because it sort of drives me out, you know, it drives us out to look at new things and to look at things in a new way. So compassion is not something that we have or do or attain. It is just to respond as best we can to what is in front of us. I always think that illness is a good example because illness is something that, you know, if we get Parkinson's, if we get cancer, we can't change this. And so the compassionate thing to do, showing compassion to ourselves is to accept, what has come and to look at it and deal with it, live with it as best we can. So it's a compassionate acceptance of sort of the movement of our lives, you know, which are not controllable by us. So the truth is where we are. Compassion is where we are. And it can't actually be anywhere else. And acceptance helps us to experience this and to move from the particular, our particular slant, our lives, our suffering, to the universal. Meditation is very valuable here. You know, this is where meditation comes in. Because when we sit down to meditate, we're saying, I wish to accept reality. You know, I wish to accept the fact that I'm sitting here, you know, tired and bored and worried. And in this accepting of reality, we find compassion. A third thought about compassion is that it arises from the recognition of our own fallibility. It doesn't arise from ideals of perfection or this is a good way to be, seeking after kindness, trying to be kind. It arises out of the recognition and acceptance of our own and others' imperfection. I think that we would like to believe that if we meditate enough, then we'll find compassion, then we'll be perfect people. And we'll be able to, you know, be compassionate in how we act in the world. And I think this idea partly comes from and partly is reflected in our mania for self-help and self-improvement. I don't know about others, but 40 years ago when I would go to a bookstore, there was not a self-help or a self-improvement section in the bookstore. I don't know when this started, but now they're almost always, the section is almost always next to religion. It's usually bigger than religion by a long shot. Sometimes in a very small bookstore, they'll combine the self-improvement and the religion section, which I find very interesting. And I think this mania that our culture has right now for self-improvement has at its heart the belief that actually we're not acceptable. And so we keep trying to be acceptable, to get it right. I feel that real compassion is to accept our actual nature as we are, that this is where it begins. And this is beyond failure and success, beyond making mistakes and not making mistakes, beyond illusion and enlightenment. These are all dualities that we're trying to move through and past. And real compassion just is. So how can we accept our actual nature as it is? What can we do? And I'm going to tell a little story here that came to my mind. The monks were having a tea and talking about campfires. And it reminded me of something that happened to me when I was on a backpacking trip some years ago. And this was in the United States. There were a lot of bears in the area where we were hiking. And you had to tie your pack, your food, everything to the highest branches you could get to of trees so the bears wouldn't come and get the food. And this was about the fifth night, and there were maybe eight of us in the group, and we all decided we did not want to tie our food up. It's really a drag to do. It takes a lot of time. It's a pain. And so what we were going to do instead was keep the campfire going all night. And we took shifts. Because generally bears or wild creatures won't approach, you know, light or a fire. And I drew the short straw. I got the 2 to 4 a.m. slot. And I came out, and there was this little fire going that the person before me had, you know, kept going. And when they left, and it's, I just started freaking out, basically, because I don't know whether you know that if you have a bright fire or a bright light, you know, it doesn't need to be a fire, you can't see beyond it. It's like it's black beyond it. It only lights the area that, you know, that you're in. And so I started, you know, being afraid of bears, being afraid of monsters, being afraid of, you know, what is out there. And I kept putting more and more logs on the fire. You know, I essentially built this huge bonfire in the middle of the night. And the more I built it, the darker it was beyond it. I mean, it was just like pitch black beyond the fire. So the next person, you know, gets up, comes over, sort of looks at me and says, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm afraid of the monsters." And they sort of laughed and they said, "You need to let the monsters in." I always remember, and I just always remember that. And so, you know, the point of this story is accepting our natures, you know, our nature as it is. And part of this means, you know, don't try to keep the monsters in the dark. One, it doesn't work, you know. Invite them to the campfire, you know. Let them sit with you. Invite them to keep warm. Most importantly, get to know them. You know, if we're always trying to keep them over in the dark black area and not look at them, we're going to have to build bigger and bigger fires. And this to me is compassionate acceptance of ourselves, you know, in doing this. And finally, the last thought that came to my mind about compassion is that compassionate activity works with rather than struggles against. That you're always working with. You know, that compassionate activity arises from paying attention to the next thing. It's not that you have to go find, you know, some poor person who needs your help. You know, it's in the next thing that you do. You know, doing what needs to be done. Reverend Master frequently refers to this as doing the work that comes to you. And we're also showing compassionate activity when we interrupt our habitual patterns. You know, when we work with our own unwanted stuff rather than fighting against it. Again, when we invite it into the campfire. both within ourselves and between ourselves and others, we work with what comes. And when we're doing this, we're showing compassionate activity. An example of this that happened to me recently is that generally when somebody I am close to, there's discord or argument or disagreement, I'm made very uncomfortable by this. And I realize that what I do is I try to immediately sort of get back together. You know, that it's very uncomfortable to be sort of alienated or in discord with somebody that you're close to. And when I saw that when I do this, that I have to immediately sort of reaffirm this closeness, I saw that by doing this, I'm not always looking at what needs to be looked at. And that I'm just doing, that I'm acting out of fear, that I'm, you know, caught in this sort of pattern of needing reassurance, reaffirmation. And when this came up recently, something in me said, don't try to make it right. To dwell in the discord and to get to know it. You know, that maybe there is nothing that needs to be fixed, actually, if we trust. And when we do this, we have the opportunity to know a deeper trust and a deeper compassion that is beyond myself and the other person, you know, that is beyond being close or distant, that's beyond comfort or discomfort. And I saw very clearly that my need to be close arose from discomfort. And when it's arising from that, you know, how can I see what it's actually good to do? So instead, in cases like this, we might practice acceptance of the distance. And we might explore our fear of discord or our need for reassurance, and then move forward from there. So what I found by looking at compassion a bit, by seeing how it arises, is that it's through accepting what is given that we find compassion. And it's through the recognition of our own fallibility. It's through getting to know our monsters and our willingness to leave the known. And it's through these things that our world opens up. And not only does turning towards what we fear or what we have an aversion for open us up, but it is the compassionate activity. This activity becomes the way to liberation. A difficult activity, I think, but one worth doing.